May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto us this morning through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with the congregation again this morning. We look forward to coming, and it's like James had said, we didn't know for a little bit if it's going to work out here this morning or not. I woke up yesterday and didn't feel the best, and I called Junior. And Junior said, well, you don't have to be afraid of us. You're a brave congregation, I guess. And he just said, if you're up to it, why come? So that is where we are this morning. I bring greetings to you from our church in Maryland, the Eastern Shore of Maryland, Hope and Light Christian Fellowship. We're quite small when I look at the attendance that you have here this morning. And when James was saying that you're short on men, I just don't understand that. We have six couples, and we have responsibilities, and some men have more than one job, I guess. So just don't bury your talents and put them to work. And the Lord bless you in that. The title of my message this morning is Growing Old Gracefully. It's a pulpit exchange message that has been assigned to me, and I found it an interesting message, and I would like to just tell the young people this morning, please don't fall asleep, because I think this message is very important for you as well. I'm going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 7, just for a foundation to the message. I was pondering over this scripture, and if you don't understand why I read it now, I think you maybe will later. But this is the last words here on the Sermon on the Mount, verse 24 through 27, I want to read. The words of Jesus, he said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, what does this have to do with growing old gracefully? I believe we understand and we know that getting older is we're all in it together. Every one of us that is here this morning, we're all in it together. And there's some older people here, older brothers and sisters, and it's a blessing to have yous here. Then we have our young people, we have our youth, children. There are those that are middle-aged and family in the heat of it, raising their children, but we're all going that one direction. And it's going to depend on how, on the foundation and how we are building our lives is going to have a lot to do with our old age and being able to gracefully age in that way. I'd like to turn to Proverbs. There's a couple of verses here in Proverbs that I think it's Proverbs 6. I thought I wrote it down. That kind of are going to be the text of the message here this morning. Well, I don't know why you didn't write it down. I thought I had it here. Can anyone tell me where the verse is where the hoary head is the crown of old men? I'm sorry about that. That was the verse that I was going to turn to, and I know it's in Proverbs. Thank you. That's what I wanted. Proverbs 16:31, it says, a hoary head is the crown of old men, is the crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, the Bible is full of many promises. It has a lot of promises, and the promise here is, if it be found in the way of righteousness. That's the condition for this promise. The hoary head is a crown of glory. Actually, I was in the wrong notes here. Sorry about that. A hoary head, white hair. That's a white-haired individual. That's the title. I mean, that's the definition of hoary head. The Jewish Bible says that white hair is a crown of honor obtained by righteous living. You know, there's something about a hoary head, about a white-haired grandpa, that is beautiful, if it is found in the way of righteousness. We could probably all know of people that would have this crown, this hoary head, a crown of glory, or crown of white hair. But we don't really notice them because of their character. Several weeks ago, when my wife was doing some shopping up in Salisbury, and it was the day after Thanksgiving, and I went with her, and I had a few things to do, so I stepped out. I mean, I parked out in the parking lot and was waiting for her to come out, and I heard this commotion outside on the parking lot there that just kind of got my attention. Here there was two ladies that were walking down toward a car that was parked close to where I was, and it was an older lady, and I'm not sure if she was using a walker or not. I don't think right she was, but she was a bit, you can tell walking was not the easiest for her, and I think it was her daughter. And I don't know if I ever heard two old ladies talking the way that they did. They were just giving it to each other. They were, the language that they used, and it was just terrible. I mean, I felt so bad for them. And then I watched them, and they stepped into, I mean, they went over to their car, their vehicle, and they sat in there, and they were kind of yelling at each other as they were getting in, and then they sat in the car, and they cracked their windows, and they lit a cigarette, and they all, both of them, were smoking in there. Now, that old lady had a nice crop of white hair, but I didn't notice those hair very much. I could tell you some more stories about people that have left a big impact and impression in my life. People with hair like that. And they are a glory to us. But you know, we have to realize that these things don't just come when these people are old. There is a pattern. There's something that we have to do, and it begins in the foundation. It begins in early life. We form habits. We form our character in early life, and then we can do some things to kind of even cover up, it seems like we can, as we're growing older. But as people get older, those weaknesses come out. And so it's important this morning that we have a good foundation. The way of righteousness. There is a way of righteousness, and a way of righteousness, some people pretend that they're on that way of righteousness. Like I said, we can cover up. But eventually, those things will come. We have to make choices in life. There are choices that line up with each other to make that way. The way of righteousness. I was going to bring out what the definition of way is. It's a course that is traveled in one direction or another. And so every one of us is traveling in a direction. We're all on that, on a way somewhere. Either we're on the way of righteousness or we're on the way of unrighteousness. And so this morning I would like to just encourage us here this morning, and especially young people, youth, that you choose a way of righteousness. Because as you grow older and as you make decisions, and the decisions that you make today are going to impact your lives and the lives of other people in a way that you probably never really realize until you get a little older sometimes and you think about that. May God just help you to make good choices and to make and to make sure that you are on that way of righteousness. If we travel the way of righteousness, there may be a hoary head, but it will be without an end. If we've traveled a way of unrighteousness, there may be a hoary head, but it will be without that beauty. And that's what I was just talking about a little bit ago. There are choices that line up with each other to make that way of righteousness. And that is to form habits that are good and to constantly choose what is righteous. Constantly choose what is righteous. And it's good that we don't want to zigzag down the road when sometimes we're in and sometimes we're out. It's important that as we make decisions in life, that we make sure that we're on the way of righteousness. And I believe that is all of your goal here this morning. I hope it is, that you want to make good choices. You want to be on that way. And you know, how do we know? I really appreciated the discussion in Sunday school this morning with just being involved with each other in each other's lives, submitting ourselves to one another and being open to each other. We can do a lot of things and we can help each other in a lot of ways. Consistently say no to sinful temptations. Well, that sounds simple, but why is it such a problem in life? Or maybe you just don't find it that way. Maybe you just have no problems with anger and bitterness and some of those things that want to creep up, the old man, the old flesh. But if we're on the way of righteousness, if we travel that way and we make sure that we're making choices that are righteous, it will help us to even overcome sins like that. What are you building on? Proverbs 17, verse 6. It says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. And I believe that this verse simply means that grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their ancestors. Now, some people take no interest in where they came from, in their ancestors. And I think it was William McGrath, he made a comment one time that if we have no interest in our ancestors or where we came from, we're going to lose the way. And I think that's so important that we understand and we know where we came from. And even just going back a generation or two, and we understand, we realize the decisions that my parents and my grandparents made, especially my parents, in stepping out, and they did it for the good of their children. And we have a heritage today that has no price tag on it because of some of the decisions that they have made in the past. We all will be leaving in a heritage someday. Growing old means aging, passing birthdays, and years go by. We're just, again, flip the calendar into a new year, and that means we're getting older. And it just was not long ago at all that I remember, you know, growing up, and most of my life was back in the 1900s, and here we are in 2021, 2022 already. And time just so swiftly passes on. Growing old is meeting one challenge after another. And as you look at the challenges the Lord has allowed in your life, are you choosing the way of righteousness? That's the test. I think of my parents this morning and some of the choices that they made. And Dave alluded to his dad and some of the things that the choices that his dad made. And sitting in Lester's class this morning and I just couldn't help but think of his dad. I mean, he's a chip off of the old block. He just reminds me so much of his dad with his teaching. And it's just something that we have that is so valuable, that is our heritage and the concern and the love that our parents had for us. The word gracefully means displaying beauty in form or action, delicate in manners or demeanor. Is that our goal in life, that we want to grow old gracefully? And I know there's so many things that we could bring in to all this here. There's another scripture in Psalm 92 that I'd just like to turn to this is probably the first scripture that came to my mind when I was given this topic or this title. Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15. Verse 12 says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Makes reference here to the righteous. It says that they shall flourish. And if we go into the Hebrew and just look at what that word means, it means to blossom. The righteous shall blossom, or they shall, like a palm tree and like the cedar in Lebanon. And I believe that the palm tree and the cedar were two trees that were very valuable and useful back in this day. Palm tree they can grow to be very old, and its branch is a symbol of triumph and victory. And those were, I thought of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem when Jesus rode in there. It says that they put palm trees, they laid down the palm trees for him to ride over. It's a symbol of triumph and victory. And it says here that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The word planted here is very important for us to consider as we think of where we are and just where we put our roots in our life. Those that be planted, it says, in the house of the Lord shall flourish, and they shall blossom in the courts of our God. Sometimes we hear the statement or the phrase is, you know, I want to just plug in to this. I like to plug in, or we encourage people. And I don't know that's really wrong. But I wonder if we wouldn't do better if we just tell people to be planted and to put themselves into the church and into their work and whatever the Lord has called them to be planted into that, rather than just be plugged in. Plugged in kind of gives you the idea of pulling it out and putting it back as it's convenient for you. And if we're planted, I believe that we're there to stay, and we're there to, and this is in the house, it's talking about the house of the Lord. They that be planted in the house, and it's in his work. Putting to work the talents that God has given to you. Appreciated that devotional this morning, Brother Dwayne, when you talked about our talents and putting them to use. Do we store them in a toolbox, or are we using them? God gives us a toolbox, I believe, with a lot of tools in there that we can use for his work. Then it says that they shall bring forth fruit in old age. Now we wonder, the older people here this morning, what does that verse mean to you? It says they shall be fat and flourishing. I don't think this is talking about just sitting around not doing anything, playing shuffleboard or doing whatever. But there is work. There is a lot of work, even for our older folk. Then verse 15 says to show that the Lord is upright. And that is really the goal, should be the goal of our lives. And what we do is to show that the Lord is upright. To just be a little Christ and to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to show that the Lord is upright. That's a challenge that I'd like to leave with you all. Several things this morning that I'd like to just look at in some points growing old. And I have several here that would kind of refer back to the younger people, and then maybe just some practical tidbits for our older people as well. There's there's a point here where it says begin early in life to respect old age. You know, I think it's important that we teach our children to respect the older people and to respect them and to listen to them. They have so much experience. Many of them have experience, and they can draw out from their life experiences that they have made, mistakes that they have made, and encourage us to do something better or to warn us against doing those things. I think it's important that we teach our children that. Respect, to begin early in life, to respect old age. Be patient with old folks. We lived with, right next to my parents for many years, and just being there and seeing some of the things, the changes in their lives and some of the struggles that they went through, I think that we do well when we encourage our older people. Sometimes I believe they can feel kind of forsaken. They can feel like they're left out. Families, their children are growing up, and there's families that they're taking care of now, and it's just it's good when we can just include those, do what we can for our aging parents to make them feel needed and accepted, and to listen to them, visit them. They enjoy visits. That's something that I have observed very, very much with my parents was visitors, and especially family, when family comes and visit them. Okay, I'd like to just give some pointers here for the older folks. And some of the things we talked about this morning in class, and I appreciate that. It just seemed like it goes together very well with the younger submitting to the older, and then working together, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, I think that verse was. Some of the points here for us, for the older folks, is you want to give proper consideration to the suggestion of younger people. And that was a question that came up in our class this morning. You know, do young people, is it okay if they ask questions? Or I'm not sure how that question was, but do they Do young people not have any say to maybe some of the decisions? I think is maybe what it was bringing out. But I think it's good that when older folks, they give proper consideration to the suggestion of younger people. Respect them by listening to their suggestions. And not saying that you have to give in, but just respect and be there. And give them a listening ear. Number two is use the best of discretion in giving unsolicited advice. I believe that young people should be open. And again, I'm speaking to both of us here this morning. And we have to. Even for myself, I still enjoy listening to the older folk and have them, they can give advice. They can look into some situations, some things that we can't. But use the best of discretion when you give that kind of advice. Take not offense when younger people don't ask for your counsel. I just got these points they're not all original with me, and I was doing some studying and I came across some of these here, and I thought they were very good. And this is a part of growing old gracefully, is to take not offense when younger people don't ask for your counsel. Now, I know I said it's important that young people listen to the counsel of old people, and I think it is. But, you know, younger people, and I do believe that if young people do ask for advice, it helps to heal that generational gap that tends to come between the younger and the older. Don't take offense when they don't ask for your counsel. Number four is always express appreciation for kindness rendered to you. That's a challenge, I think, that and some of those things are, if the habits are developed when they're younger, and it's probably something for us to work on, to express appreciation for kindnesses that are rendered. A thankful heart is contagious, and it's much, we feel like being around people, or at least I do, if they have an attitude in life that is thankful and they're looking positively in life. And if we can do that as well, if we can, as older people, if they can have that attitude of expressing appreciation for kindnesses that are rendered to them. Make yourselves agreeable by taking at least some interest in their interest. I found that with my parents living there with us, they're both gone now. If Dad took an interest in the lives of his grandchildren, it created a bond. It was something that happened there between the two that they were able to enjoy. And so I think that's important as well for older people that they do that. And then number six is, do not think that all new things are wrong because it wasn't that way when you were young. And I believe that's a challenge this morning for older people, especially with the fast change of things and technology and all the things that are happening today. There's so many changes taking place. And I know some of them are not good. But we need to siphon those out and to just try to use discretion in those changes. I just remember back in the days when my parents got their telephone. They used to have it out in the phone shanty. That's where they were. And I just remember a little bit of that there when the phone was out there. But then they brought it in the woodshed, and soon it was in the closet, and then soon there was cordless phones. My dad had an issue with some of those things. He didn't like them for a while, but as time went on, he adjusted to them, and he was okay with it. And you know, those are things that are happening today with our younger society, or with our younger generation, and in especially with when it comes to technology. And I think we still need to be very careful with all this here, because it does have a way of robbing our time. And it can take us away. It can take us down a road that we don't want to do. And I think it's very important that we have accountability with our devices as well. Number 7, try by all means to fit yourself in the program. Changes are not easy for older people. And I know they struggle with that. I still just remember too when some of those things that you know, when we took over the farm there was some things that it seemed like Dad just kind of had a problem with. And I'm so thankful that he was able to just come out of that and to just rest in it, because I had the privilege of having my grandmother living there on the farm with us when we were growing old, and I know that she was that way too sometimes, and it kind of bugged my dad. And then, but then the next generation came along, and there it was again. And it's important that we fit ourselves in to the program. Although I do have something written here on those, unless it violates gospel principles. We always have to keep in mind that some changes are not good. And if they violate gospel principles, we have to be aware of that. How about complaining about our circumstances? Growing old gracefully. A complainer, nobody wants to listen to anyone complaining. And I think, again, here it's something that we need to work on as in our younger years. If we have an attitude, if we have a negative attitude about life, those things will come up. They will pop out at us as we grow older. And especially our children are going to have to deal with those things. If you want to grow old gracefully, start when you are young. Something that I have noticed already with older people was that they feel like they're a bother. And God forbid that we would make them feel that way. But I believe that is a temptation that comes with some older people. Their strength is gone. They're not able to do a lot anymore. And someone has to help them do about whatever they want to do. And they feel like they're a bother. And here again, I think on our part, we need to do our part in just helping them to understand that we're here to help them, and it's our responsibility. God has laid this responsibility on us to take care of our parents and to take care of our older people. And let's not make them feel like they're a bother for us. Let us strive to attain Proverbs 16:31 and 32. I'm going to read those verses. I think I read the one verse before, and I'm going to read two of them here. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh his city. May that be our goal as we go through life, that we can find that way of righteousness. We're going to be remembered by the things that we have done, only remembered by the things that we have done. As we pass on in life, what are we going to be remembered as? Will we be known to be a person who has walked, who has found the way of righteousness, or is it going to be the other way? a person that has followed the unrighteous. I can look back at my years growing up and people that I have been in the youth group with and people that I grew up with, cousins and who they are. And a lot of them have made, there's a lot that have made some good choices in life. But you know, there are some of those that have made choices that took them where I believe they never thought that they would be today. So my plea this morning is that you just make sure that what you're doing is right and that you follow that way of righteousness. I love that scripture. I think it's in Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about Jacob. And Jacob was a man who had a lot of trials in his life. He was deceived. His own boys had deceived him. And Jacob was a very troubled man, I believe, growing up because of some of the things that were happening in his family. But then the day came when he was reunited with Joseph. And Joseph had the privilege of bringing his sons in front of him, and Jacob was able to bless them. I just like the picture there where it says that, now maybe I'll have to read it. Hebrews chapter 11, I think it is. When I think of an old man in the Bible, and someone who was doing for his grandchildren what he could, I think of Jacob. Verse 21 in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, "By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." I see an old man here with his cane, his staff, and his grandsons coming before him and walking in front of him. And possibly here he was laying his hands on them and blessing them. Older people this morning, that is something that you can do. Be a blessing to your grandchildren. I know growing old is not easy. It's not always easy. For some, it's harder than others. But we know that there is a crown of life awaiting for those who are faithful when we come to the end of life. Where will we be? Where will you be? How are you going to close that last chapter of your life? And where is it going to take you? Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. "And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." This is a precious promise that God is giving to our older folks this morning. And as we grow older, that we know that God will carry us. He wants to help us. And he will deliver us. We only have one life to live, and so may we strive to go in that way of righteousness. In closing here, I'd like to just read a poem. It said, "An old man going a long highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide, though which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned, went safe on the other side, and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength and building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed a chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said. There followed after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. I think that's, I hope that is all our desire here this morning as we go through life, that we are not only making choices for ourselves, but we're building bridges for the next generation. Shall we kneel for a word of prayer?